You're listening to an audio recording from Brimley Baptist Church. For more resources or to give to this ministry, please visit brimleyworship.com.
Man, you may be seated. Sorry. The other slide messed us up a little bit. Man, I tell you what, I was sitting there just reflecting on the worship that we sung today. And, you know, I think we might not realize how blessed we really are. Every single song that we sung today, you know, Wednesday night I talked about us praying in Scripture. This morning we sung in Scripture. So we sung three songs directly linked to Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Let's see the one song. Christ is my firm foundation. Matthew chapter 7. The wise man built his house upon what? The rock. When the storms of life came and blew, the man who built upon that foundation of Christ. Let's see the other one. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, then all these things shall be added unto you. We're going to be talking about that next week. And then what about love your enemy as yourself? Those that curse you, instead of hating them, we're called to love them. Singing Scripture, and then that last one, John 7. Man, we're blessed. We're blessed. Don't take it for granted. And I challenge you, if you don't like singing, why? Why? Because you're not just singing random words. You're articulating back to God what He has given us to praise Him with. The best praises, the best prayers are the ones that God has already designed for us right here. And what better way to praise and reflect? And I'm so grateful for our worship team, for our worship leader. My wife does a great job with that. And just I'm blessed because, I always say this. God gave her the gift of the ear of the Holy Spirit, and I'm blessed for that. I'm blessed for that because she strives to seek those songs that truly point us upward. And so praise the Lord for that. Open your open your bathrooms to Bible. I don't know where that came from. I said, thank you, Lord, for helping me out this morning. Motives matter. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter number six. Believe it or not, we are moving on today to Matthew chapter number six. And we're talking about motives matter. Motives matter. God is not impressed by our outward performance. Sometimes we try to we try to impress people. You ever notice that sometimes by the actions that we do? And sometimes we think we can impress God by what we do. But God is not impressed by our outward performance. He is looking at the motives of the heart. He is looking at why we do what we do. That's what He cares about. Why do I stand up here and preach? Why does the worship team stand up here and sing? Why do we do the things that we do? Because here's the thing. You may not be able to distinguish why I'm up here doing what I do. You may not be able to distinguish why the worship team is up here doing what they do, but God does. And today, He is talking to us about what no one else sees but Him. He goes from talking about the matters of the heart to now the motives of the heart, because the motives matter. Your motives matter to God. Have you ever noticed how people change when they know they're being watched? Maybe it's your kids. You ever watch them and they know you're watching them? And it's a kid that cleans their room differently. Anybody know what I'm talking about when their parents are watching? Otherwise, they're just sitting on their. It's funny story. I'll let you know my childhood. My room would get so dirty. Now I'm like the complete opposite. But, you know, it's like you look at the mess and you're like, I don't know where to start. You know, so you just sit there and look at it. But it's funny. Sometimes kid cleans their room differently when a parent walks. An employee works differently when the boss is nearby. And if we're honest, we don't just do that in life. We can do this spiritually too if we're not careful. Maybe we pray differently when others are around. Maybe we give differently when others might see, and maybe we sing different so others can hear. We know how to do the right things, but sometimes we do them for the wrong reasons. This is what Jesus is highlighting here this morning. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus confronts something very uncomfortable to us, and it's not bad behavior. He's not talking about, hey, don't do drugs and don't curse and don't do this. He's not talking about bad behavior. He's talking about good behavior with the wrong motives. And so today, you know, as we think about this, let's pray and jump into this motive matters. Lord God, I love you, and I thank you, Lord, just for bringing us into this place. I thank you for this church. I thank you that your son truly is exalted and magnified, and Lord, that it's about him, and it's about what you've done. Lord, today I pray that you would work as only you can, Lord, in this body of believers, this united body by your spirit, and by what Christ has done on the cross, and bringing us together. I pray that today your Holy Spirit would meet with us, and that the Word of God would convict and challenge us and help us to see this real matter of our motives before you. You care about them. Lord God, and I pray that you would help us, Lord, today to see a highlight maybe where we're doing things for the wrong reasons, and Lord, help us to make those corrections. Lord God, we love you. We need you today to see the part of our heart that no one else sees. Lord, today I pray that even in the preaching and the teaching of your word, just like David prayed, search my heart, O God, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Lord, I pray that you would go from seat to seat in this sanctuary, Lord God, and search the hearts of each person, Lord, and help us, Lord, identify if there be something in our heart, motives that are wrong, Lord, so that we can identify, so that we can bring them before you, and so that we can correct them, so that we can come and do the right things for the right reasons. Lord God, we pray this in your precious son's name. Amen. Point number one, write it down. Religious hypocrisy exposed. Religious hypocrisy. I can see this is going to be an interesting day right here, because religious hypocrisy exposed. Jesus exposes first hypocrisy in our giving. Point number A, giving. Look at verse number one. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Jesus highlights here why we do what we do matters. He's not saying don't give alms. He's saying, why do you give alms? This matters to him. To give alms, if you're not familiar with that word, or you know, it's basically charitable giving. That could be to an individual, a person, or it could be to a church. Jesus warns his disciples, because remember, who is he primarily talking to? He's primarily talking and teaching his disciples in the entry of their his earthly ministry to beware of these things that so many of the Pharisees and people who called themselves religious fell for. They fell for the focus on the externals, but their hearts, their motives were wrong at the core. Jesus warns his disciples to beware of giving to be seen of men. He warns them of this. When we do, Jesus says we lose our reward from our Heavenly Father. Am I loud enough, or am I seem to be a little softer than normal? Is it good? Can you hear me okay? Okay, I feel like it's a little softer, and I feel like I'm having to strain a little bit more. Maybe Todd just cranked me up just a little bit, because I don't know my voices, or I just see people falling asleep and I don't know which one it is. No, I'm just kidding. Nobody's falling asleep yet. That's usually at the 11 o'clock service when it gets a little warmer. And so look at verse number two. Verse number two, it says, Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto thee, they have their reward. Jesus is hitting on some very, he's basically opening up what nobody really saw. He's revealing the hearts of many Pharisees, many hypocrites, or many religious people, highlighting why they're doing what they're doing. And we see the first time that the word hypocrite is used. It says, therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory. Here, he's uncovering why these men were doing what they were doing, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. Have you ever heard the verse in Isaiah, my glory will I not share with another? These men were trying to steal the very glory that belonged to the Lord by drawing attention to themselves instead of giving glory to the Lord. We see here the word hypocrite mentioned for the first time in the New Testament. The word means to literally to act or play a part, to pretend. It's kind of like when we watch TV, we might watch a sitcom or something like that. They're playing a part that's not who they really are. It's disingenuous. It's not real. It's not authentic. That word hypocrisy, you're going to see it mentioned three different times in these categories that we're looking at. It's not real. It's to pretend. What we lead on for people to see and people to watch is it's all for show. He's saying these people that are giving their alms and then going into the street sounding the trumpet, it's all fake. That's not who they really are. He's hitting on this because he wants us to do the same things, but with the right motives. These men would give and then go tell everyone what they did to gain the applause of men and the glory of men. We see their reward was the praise of man instead of the blessing of God. Now, here's the question. Which one would you rather have? the praise of man or the blessings from God? Man, I want those blessings from God. His hands are so much bigger than man's hands. And so, sometimes we fail to realize this. Verse number 3, look at it. It says, but when thou doest alms. So he goes from uncovering why some people were doing what they were doing. And then he helps us to correct in case. That's one of us in this room. Highlighting, hey, let's correct and let's do it the right way. Look at verse number 3. But when thou doest thine alms. When thou doest thine alms, hey, here's the right way to do it. If we've been doing it the wrong way with the wrong motives, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand is doing. You know what he's saying? When we give, it should be discreetly, if at all possible. If at all possible. And sometimes it's not always possible. I think about Acts chapter number 4 and Acts chapter number 5. You remember? As the church, the different people in the church went and sold all their possessions and gave that to the work of the Lord. They brought it. They gave it to the Lord. People saw this, but there were two types of people that were giving there. There was people who were giving genuinely, not even though people saw them giving, it wasn't to be recognized and applauded by others. But then we see a whole nother group of people, Ananias and Sapphira specifically, who came and did the same thing that everybody else did, but they were doing it so that they could get the glory, so that they could get the benefit and the praise and the applaud of man. God's not saying don't give. He's saying, but how we give matters. How we give matters, because Ananias and Sapphira, they did the same exact thing. Both people did the same thing, but one did it with the motive to hey, look at me. Look how spiritual I am. Look how holy I am and how righteous I am. Instead of, man, God's awesome. He's worthy. He deserves it all. I'm going to give it back to him. And so do you see the difference? Do you see the difference? Look at verse number 4. That thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself, God himself will reward you. The creator of the universe who can give joy and blessings unspeakable. Him. And not just somebody else, but God from his hand, himself will bless you. In secret, himself shall reward thee openly. When we give with the right heart, remember who you're giving to and where your reward comes from. Remember who you're giving to And where your reward comes from, you know, sometimes I hear people say, and I don't think they realize what they say, well, I'm giving to the church. You're giving to the church. If you're giving to the church, you should stop giving. You should really understand you're giving to the Lord through the church. And I mean that. And I'll say, I haven't said it in a while, so I'll say it today. God doesn't need your money. I promise you the church won't go bankrupt if you stop giving or I stop giving today. God can fund far outside of our means. And so sometimes we think, well, God, I'm doing you a favor. I put my tithes in today. What? God gave you 100% of everything you had to put in the offering plate in the first place. And we forget that. We're like, man, I'm doing such a good job. No, God's given you the wherewithal to bless or to give back. And here we see first who we're giving to. Who we're giving to, we're giving when you give to that person. Maybe that's a need. As ye done it under the what? As ye done it under what? The least of these, you've done it unto who? Me. Remember, when we give, the right motive is we're always giving to the Lord. Yes, it may be through the church. And I like how sometimes we like to dictate what we're giving to the Lord. Now, Lord, you have to use it in this manner. And it's like, what? Sometimes I'll get people, well, I want my tithes to go here. That's not how it works. It goes for whether that's the light, the chairs, the church, wherever. And it's funny how we like to dictate when we give to the Lord, well, God, it's got to be used. That's someone giving to a building, to a church, not giving to the Lord. Whatever the funding, right? Wherever the need, whether that's missionaries, whether that's teens, whether that's the church, whether that's the electricity, whether it's getting the carpet cleaned. And I think when we give to the Lord, we give to the Lord ultimately, or we should. And then remember where your reward comes from. Sometimes we want to look for man to give back payment. It's God that gives that blessing. Matthew 25:40, and the king shall answer and say unto thee, verily I say unto thee, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Wrong motives, recognition, right? That's the wrong motive. They're looking to be recognized. Look at me, look at what I've done. Of wrong methods, they're now drawing attention to themselves. Wrong rewards, a human applause. Hey, look at what I've done. Applaud me. Tell me how awesome I am. Giving is not wrong. We all agree with that. But giving to be seen, God would say it is. It is. We saw Jesus address hypocrisy in giving. Now he addresses hypocrisy in their prayers. He's now going from hypocrisy in the giving to hypocrisy in their prayers. Praying. Hypocrisy exposed. Look at verse number five. It says, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites. That's the second time it's mentioned. Hypocrites, the person that's just playing a part, that's pretending, that's not authentic. What they're doing is disingenuous. It's to be seen. It's to be heard. He's exposing a hypocrisy. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men, here it is. Verily I say unto you, they have their rewards. See, our motives matter. The problem is not prayer. It's the heart behind the prayer. It's not that we shouldn't pray in public, but why we pray in public that matters. Even Jesus himself prayed in public. He's not saying the only time you ever pray is in the closet. These men prayed to be seen of men so they could look more spiritual. Their prayers were not authentic before God, but fraudulent before God. Disingenuous before God. And really, they weren't even praying to God. They're praying to man. These men had no real relationship with God in private, so they clung to religious prayer in public. These men didn't go into their closets. These men, all they had was religion. They had no relationship. Look at verse number 6. But thou, Here's the correct way to do it. If we got it wrong, here's the correct way to do it. But thou, but you, hey, and me, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. That secret place. That he's not telling you to go in your closet in your house. Although that might be a great place to go. That quiet place, that secret place. Enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut the door, it's that private place, it's that secret place. Pray to thy Father, which is in secret. To thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. You know the beauty of authentic prayer in secret is answered prayer publicly. You know the most beautiful thing when you go into your closet and you pray to God privately and you come out of that closet and you go throughout your day and you see God drop a miracle blessing on you and you're like, oh my goodness, I just prayed for that and nobody heard me but God. It's like when you go into your closet, and I love this because it's a tangible way that we know it's God. You go into your closet and you're like, God, you know this financial need I have. You go into that closet, you pray. Maybe it's a food need, maybe it's a financial need, maybe it's a health need. You go into that closet and you pray and nobody, you've told nobody but God, and you come out of that closet and God answers that need and you're like, nobody knew but God. And guess what? He heard you. And he blessed you. This is what the Lord is talking about. Sometimes we'll throw needs out to, oh, Lord God, I got a $573 need. And I pray, you know, it's like, you know, everybody and their mama hears you. Maybe sometimes it's, and it's a shame because sometimes preachers do that or different people in a church, and they turn it into something more public. And I'm not saying if you need help, don't ask. But it's not to broadcast. It's going to the Lord. You know, sometimes we'll ask of others before we've ever went to our Heavenly Father and asked for what is needed. We see here, Jesus is not saying here, don't pray in public. Even he prayed in public. Jesus highlights our prayers should be far more private than they ever are public. If the only time you're really praying is in public, man, we got an issue there. You got an issue there. He's saying they should be far more private than they are public. When we pray in private, you know what it does? It highlights who we are praying to. We know nobody else is hearing us. We know nobody else, hopefully, is listening. But we know it highlights who we're praying to because no one is around to hear us but our Father in heaven. Look at verse number 7. But when you pray, he's hitting on this again. He's highlighting this. But when you pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, and now at the hour of death, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace. Does anybody know where I'm going with this? Repetition. 3 Hail Marys. 5 Hail Marys, 10 Hail Marys. Number 1, we don't pray to Mary last time I checked. Mary didn't die on the cross. Mary doesn't save you. Do you see the vain repetition of the hollowness? This is what he's talking about. He's talking about that, going about to just speaking, just random speaking here. Jesus tells us here not to use vain repetition or a multitude of empty, hollow words. It's not the length of your prayer, but the heart. Prove it. Sometimes we get stuck on, I have to pray for hours. And you know what? Sometimes that may be the God calling you into a season of prayer. But sometimes we get hung up on the length of our prayer far too long. And I love Luke 18, verse 10 through 14, when it says, two men went into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed with himself. Everybody hearing him. Everybody knowing what he said. God, I thank thee that I'm not like this publican. Pray within himself. I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. But then there was another man in the presence of God, a publican man, a man who realized he was a sinner. Standing afar off, he could not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast. And I want you to hear the whole brevity of his prayer and how long it took. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I think six words. Be merciful to me, a sinner. Seven. That's probably the shortest recorded prayer ever. And guess what? The Bible says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Do we need to say all those words? We forget sometimes. It's not about the length of the prayers. Vain repetition as the heathens do, for they hope that for their much speaking God hears. God hears every word spoken in secret. Every word. Every single word. Have you ever noticed someone praying and their voice changes depending on who's around? I've noticed this. Father, thank you. You know, I've heard it. I've heard it myself. You know, firsthand when you're praying, it's like your voice changes. It's like, you know, we forget. It's like we switch voices and we forget who we're talking to. One is talking to God. The other is performing before people. If your prayer life sounds better in public than in private, something is off. Prayer was never meant to be an act of performing before people. Never, ever. Never. That was never God's intent. It's a communication between a child and his father. But yet we'll wax eloquent, we'll write our prayers out, all of those things. So why? So they sound good to man, or because they're before God? Look at verse number 8. Be not ye likened unto them. For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Jesus reminds us, prayer is not making the Father aware of what you need. It's not like God is in heaven and he's like, oh, I didn't realize you needed that. No, it's not at all that. But it's an act of faith depending on him to supply our needs. Because God already knows our needs. So we have seen hypocrisy exposed in giving and prayer. Now he turns to fasting. Man, he's just hitting it hard. Look at C, fasting. Look at verse number 16. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the what? Hypocrites. The ones who pretend, the ones who put on for show, the ones who are not authentic and genuine on the inside, the ones that are pretending. Be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. These are those who go around, I wish I could get my, you know, I wish I looked like I was fasting, you know what I'm saying? But no, I got a little too much on there. But he's saying, you know, people are going around, you know, it's like, oh, woe is me. I haven't eaten a week. And they get close to the Lord, you know, he's like, and people would go around and they would flaunt their sacrifice to the Lord. Would anybody agree that Jesus does not like hypocrisy? Third time. Three times here highlights that our motives matter. He is not saying if your motives aren't right, don't give, don't pray, or don't fast. That's what he's not saying. What he is saying is get it right. Get it right. God sees your heart. God sees my heart. This is the part where man does not see. And before God, we must be honest. Because he sees us for what we truly are on the inside. He is saying, identify the problem. And instead of doing this in public, do them in private for God to see, not man. That's the answer to all these. You're doing your alms to be seen of men? Do them in secret. You're praying in public to be seen of men? Doing it in private. Hey, you're fasting to be seen of men? Hey, do it secretly. Do it privately. Look at verse number 17. But when thou fastest, anoint thy head, wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee, what? Openly. Once again, blessings. God, I'm seeking you. God, I need more of you. He's going to bless you. But what's the motive that you're doing? What's the reason? What's the motive behind what you're doing? When sacrifice becomes something you want man to recognize, it stops being sacrifice and starts being a show. It no longer is sacrifice. When I'm doing it for man to see it, it becomes a show. You can do the right things and still miss God entirely if your motive is to be seen. So we see prayer isn't about being seen, but what does real authentic prayer actually look like? Point number two, authentic prayer displayed. This isn't just a prayer to repeat. So often you hear people, you know, it's like, well, and there's nothing wrong. We should memorize it. We should meditate on it. But it's not just something that we go, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And sometimes we get in that mindset where we just arbitrarily, randomly, well, not randomly, but intentionally just kind of quote the same prayer every night. It's more of a ritual instead of connecting to the Lord in a real relationship through prayer using the pattern that Jesus has given to us to go before our Father. This isn't just a prayer to repeat, but a relationship that is displayed in dependency and trust. A, notice, a relationship before our request. This is what authentic prayer actually looks like. Look at verse number five, number nine. After this manner, therefore pray ye. What's the next two words? Our Father. It's a relationship before request, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Our Father, it's personal, it's relational. In heaven, it's reverence, it's respectful. It's not performance-based, but it's relationally driven. Children need their Father. Children need a relationship with their Father. He is our Heavenly Father. Sometimes we fail to realize that, our relationship, it's not just religious-based, it's relational-based. He is, and Jesus highlights this, He's our Father. He's not a God in heaven with a stick saying, hey, you mess up, I'm going to beat you with it. And religion has taught us that that's the case about God, but that's not the case about God. He's a loving Father who, yes, will correct, because all love has correction. We see real authentic prayers, a relationship before request. B, real authentic prayers, Father's will before my will. Father's will before my will. Look at verse number 10. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Oh, that was our church's heart. Oh, that everyone in this church, including myself, our heart to God would be, not my will, but thine be done. Oh, how it would change the lives that we live and the path of our life. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Too often we pray asking God to follow our plans when prayer is really about us surrendering to His plans. We pray sometimes to get God on board with my plans. God, I really want this job. God, I need you to give me this job. God, I need you to give me X, Y, and Z. God, I need this. And where does God's will come into play in all this? When do we go to God and say, God, if it's your will, let this be? Didn't we just learn about that last week? If the Lord will, He'll give us tomorrow. And then if the Lord will, let us pray. And that's, see, it's not that we shouldn't make plans with our lives. We should, because if not, if you aim for nothing, you hit it every time. But too often we make plans for our lives like this. I make my plan and I put it in my hand and I got it like this. Instead of making a plan and saying, God, these are my plans, but my hand is open before you. You change them as you will. And so often we get upset because we make our plan and God doesn't jump on board with it, and we get upset about it. We get bent out of shape about it. Jesus is pointing out this is what authentic prayer looks like. We see authentic prayer is a relationship before request, Father's will before my will. And see, real authentic prayer removes self-dependency. When we go to that closet and pray every day, Jesus gives us this model prayer to show us some things. Prayer reminds us who supplies our every need. You know, sometimes we forget who gives us our food. So Jesus reminds us, go into your closet, and I like what it says, give us this day our what? Daily bread. God, I depend on you for my day. We sung that song today. I depend on you give us this day our daily bread. Verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. God, I can't forgive my own sins. I can't do that, but you can. It puts our dependency and our focus back on God. Look at verse number 13, and lead us. It shows that we don't know where to be led. I love Psalms chapter 40 when it says, he picked me up out of the miry pit. He set my feet on a solid rock and he established my goings. He showed me the way so I don't find myself back in the pit of sin. And again, it says, lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Prayer is meant to be a display of dependence on God, not a show for man in public. It's meant to be a display of dependency and trust in our Heavenly Father based off our relationship with Him. But a lot of people treat prayer like a vending machine. Insert request, push the right buttons, expect results. And when it doesn't work, try more words, repeat more. But Jesus says, starts with our Father. This changes everything. See, a vending machine responds on a method. A father responds to a relationship with his child. And we fail to realize that God is our Father and He wants to have a relationship with us. Prayer isn't meant to be a get out of jail free card. The only time you pray is when something goes wrong in your life. God, I need you now. No, you needed Him every day. You didn't pray. You just didn't go to Him. You didn't recognize, you didn't understand, but a daily show of our dependency in Him and not ourselves. The person that runs past their prayer closet every day is showing a self-dependency on themselves, saying, you know what, I don't need God to provide my bread today. I have a refrigerator full of stuff. I don't need God to lead me in the right path because I know my way that I'm going. But you know what else authentic prayer looks like? It reminds us to give to others what we have been given ourselves, and we forget that. You know, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Has anybody ever asked the Lord to forgive them of their sins? Raise your hands if you have asked the Lord, if you have went to the Lord and asked Him to forgive your sins. You know, I think that's just about every single hand. I think I saw every single hand in here. Does everybody in here want forgiveness of your sins? Does anybody in here not want forgiveness of the sins? Okay, all right, great. Authentic prayer reveals a heart that is willing to give others what we ourselves have received from our Father. Look at verse number 14. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Unforgiveness reveals the condition of your heart. How can you seek forgiveness from God, but yet not be willing to give it to another person? And then expect that same forgiveness from God when you mess up. Well, my sin wasn't egregious as theirs. What? Who made you a judge? God hits on this so hard, it's almost presented as though you won't have salvation unless you're willing to forgive. And we understand that's not the case, but He is going hard at it to make the point. And you say, how do you know that's true? Well, then there would be a sin that He would not be willing to forgive, unforgiveness. And a person cannot truly forgive like Christ until a person comes to Christ and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Being able to truly forgive someone their trespasses against you is a real supernatural thing that God only can allow us to do. So it's not a prerequisite for salvation, but it is, God, how dare you come to me seeking forgiveness for your sin, but you won't forgive the sins of your brother or your sister or your spouse or your kids or your coworker. It's kind of convicting, isn't it? As we prepare to close, my wife's going to come sit at the piano, but I want to reflect on what we heard today, and I want you to think about a few things. Imagine your entire spiritual life moved into a room where no one could see it. Just imagine this church completely empty, and it's just you and God. That's it. No one hears your prayers. No one sees your giving. No one knows your sacrifice. Imagine what would be left for God? It's just you and God in this room. Everything that you've done, would there be anything left that you did for the right reason, for the right heart, and for the right person? Giving, who are you doing it for? Praying, who are you talking to? Fasting, whose attention are you trying to get? Singing, who are you hoping hears you? Small group, who are you trying to impress with your knowledge? Huh? Are you studying to show yourself approved unto God? Or to man? Hey, this bleeds into every area of our life. Motives matter because God isn't just watching what you do. He's looking at why you do it. Heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around. My wife's just going to play a little bit. And hypocrisy exposed. I do believe in this room right here, hypocrisy is exposed. But you know, it's between you and God. God just wants you. If the Holy Spirit's revealed something to you today, he's saying, hey, get it right. Get it right. Hey, do it for me, not for them. Hey, sing for me. Don't worry about them. Hey, pray for me. Why are you afraid to pray in public? Because you're afraid your words, you'll mess up. But you're talking to the wrong person. You're praying to God, right? Right? Why are you giving? Why are you fasting? Who are you hoping notices what you're doing? God or the person sitting next to you? Are you trying to earn your salvation through religion? Or have you placed your dependency completely in Jesus for your salvation? You know, today God sees your motives. He sees if you're trying to earn your salvation through what you do. He sees it. Nobody else may see it. You may look super spiritual, but God sees why you do what you do. Are you doing it to earn salvation? Because the Lord would say to you today, hey, your dependency has to be on me. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior and you need to reject your own dependency that you've been depending on for your salvation. Hey, I'm a good person. Hey, I was baptized. I tried doing the right things. That's why I should be getting into heaven. That's why my sins are forgiven. Hey, remember, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts. Nobody can have their sins forgiven except they be forgiven from the Father. Are you willing to go to him, to seek from him what you can never get on your own? Put your dependency completely on him today. I don't know how God spoke to you today, but as the worship team comes, let's pray. Lord God, I love you, and I thank you for your wholesome word. I thank you that, Lord, sometimes it doesn't feel good on the outside, but when it gets to the inside, Lord, and it corrects a wrong heart on the inside, how sweet your word is. Lord, when it can help us live the lives that you want us to live, Lord, and that it can be authentic and genuine before you and not fake and fraudulent. Lord God, help us today. Lord, it's not that you don't want us to give. You want every single one of us to give because you're worthy. You want every single one of us to pray because we need you. You want every single one of us to fast and to seek your face to be more like you. But Lord God, you want us to do it for the right reason. Lord, help us identify in us where our flesh has deceived us, our heart being desperately wicked sometimes has blinded our eyes to see our pride, not see our pride. Lord God, I pray that you bless your people today, Lord. And if there be anybody in here depending on their own righteousness, self-righteousness for their salvation, Lord, turn them from their way, their dependency, to complete dependency on you. Lord God, I pray that you do a work in our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, let's all stand.
you would like more information about today's sermon or how to become a follower of Jesus Christ, please visit the Contact Us page at brimleyworship.com.